Hey, listener. Before we get started, there are a couple of things I need to point out about the podcast. First, this podcast is intended to serve as a study aid for students in the Texas Basic Peace Officer course and should not be used in place of classroom instruction. Second, you should not consider anything we discuss during the episodes as legal advice, and the opinions we express on the podcast are our own and are not representative of our employers or the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. And finally, you should always consult your agency representatives and your county or district attorney's office before filing criminal charges based on anything you hear on the podcast. Are you a cadet in the Basic Peace Officer course in Texas? Are you an officer in another state planning to challenge the Texas Peace Officer licensing exam? If so, then this is the podcast for you. We are going through and breaking down the codified portions of the Basic Peace Officer course learning objectives to help you understand all the legal language. This is BPOC Basics. Hello and welcome back. I am Jim McGregor, the training coordinator for the Tarrant County College Law Enforcement Academy. And with me, as always, is Amy Byram from the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office.
Hello.
And we will be discussing Chapter 2 of the Penal Code. Starting off with Penal Code 2.02, Exception. So 2.02 reads, an exception to an offense in this code is so labeled by the phrase, it is an exception to the application of. And the prosecuting attorney must negate the existence of an exception in the accusation charging a commission of the offense and prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant or defendant's conduct does not fall within the exception. This section does not affect the exceptions applicable to offenses enacted prior to the effective date of this code. So basically, important thing to note here on an exception is that if the offense has an exception, that the prosecuting attorney's responsibility is to essentially prove that the defendant can't claim it. Is that right?
Yes. That's exactly right. It's a pretty simple part of the code here, and it's probably not something you're going to come across too incredibly often, but it's still a good thing you need to know, and I believe you will be tested over it. So,
all right. So moving on to defense. A defense to prosecution for an offense in this code is so labeled by the phrase, is a defense to prosecution, ... The prosecuting attorney is not required to negate the existence of a defense in the accusation charging commission of the offense. The issue of the existence of a defense is not submitted to the jury unless evidence is admitted supporting the defense. So let's stop right there. What in the world are we talking about here, Amy?
Well, on B, where it says the prosecuting attorney is not required to negate the existence of a defense in the accusation charging commission of the offense. What that means, the accusation charging commission of the offense is basically the indictment for, and that's the official document charging someone with something. And so all that means is that the prosecutor trying this case doesn't have to put language in the indictment trying to disprove the defense. That's something that happens at the trial. And so all that means is that you don't have to do anything to fight that until you actually go to trial on that charge.
Okay. So if the issue of the existence of a defense is submitted to the jury, the court shall charge that a reasonable doubt on the issue requires that the defendant be acquitted. So if the jury finds reasonable doubt, then the defendant gets to walk, right?
Yes. All that basically says is that in the case, again, this is when it goes to trial. So it's way after you have actually arrested somebody for something. What this says is if a jury believes what the defense is saying, meaning the defendant is saying, yes, I committed this offense, but here's the defense as to why I did it. If the jury believes that, or if there's any kind of reasonable doubt, then the jury has to acquit the defendant, or that's a fancy way of saying find him not guilty.
All right. And finally, a ground of defense in a penal law that is not plainly labeled in accordance with this chapter has the procedural and evidentiary consequences of a defense. We'll move on to an affirmative defense, 2.04. Now, an affirmative defense in this code is so labeled by the phrase, it is an affirmative defense to prosecution, dot, dot, dot. So that will be in the actual law itself. The prosecuting attorney is not required to negate the existence of an affirmative defense in the accusation charging commission of the offense. The issue of the existence of an affirmative defense is not submitted to the jury unless evidence is admitted supporting the defense. So help us understand this a little bit.
Okay, what that means is an affirmative defense is very different from a plain old defense. It's different because, as you see here, the affirmative defense is something that the defense side of this trial is claiming. And again, it's saying, yes, I committed the offense, but here's why. And my reason why means that I'm not guilty. And so the difference here where it says the issue of the existence of an affirmative defense on C is not submitted to the jury unless evidence is admitted supporting that defense. That means that at the end of the trial, when the attorneys are making their arguments in front of the jury and trying to convince the jury to vote either guilty or not guilty, that means that the defense can't even bring up the affirmative defense that they are wanting unless they provided some type of evidence of that defense during the trial. And now this is a technicality, again, that won't come up until way down the road, and you don't really need to deal with that when you are investigating this offense out in the field. But it's something that's good to know later down the road.
Okay. Probably the most important part of this statute is under D. If the issue of the existence of an affirmative defense is submitted to the jury, the court shall charge that the defendant must prove the affirmative defense by a preponderance of evidence. So that's the burden of proof necessary, that preponderance of evidence, and preponderance of evidence meaning 51% of the evidence or more. And the difference between the affirmative defense and the defense was that the defense required reasonable doubt, correct? Or beyond a reasonable doubt?
Yes. What the defense has to have in, if they are arguing just a plain old defense, like in 2.03, if there is any kind of reasonable doubt on the issue of the defense, then the jury has to vote not guilty or they have to acquit. And the prosecution in that case has to basically provide evidence that refutes that defense. That is where the burden is on the prosecution to do that. And their burden is higher than it is in 2.04. So in 2.03, it's the prosecution has the job of disproving the defense. And they have to do it beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest level of proof there is. That's a big difference between 2.03 and 2.04. In the affirmative defense, the burden is actually on the defense. And in that case, the defense has to provide evidence of their affirmative defense, and they have to prove that to the jury by a preponderance of the evidence, which, like you said, is 51% or more, or basically more than half. And so that's the big difference between 2.03 and 04, is the burden is on the prosecution in 03, and the burden is on the defense in 04.
All right. So basically here in chapter 2, we have the exception, which is essentially saying that, hey, this law doesn't apply to me because of a special circumstance, generally a relationship between the offender and the person that's involved in the incident. Then we have a defense and we have an affirmative defense. And the difference in between that, as you just outlined, is one, the burden of proof, and two, who he's going to bring forward this defense or affirmative defense as a party in the criminal defense or the criminal case in the courtroom. So that pretty much wraps up the Chapter 2 podcast for the basic peace officer course learning objectives on Chapter 2 of the Penal Code. So thanks for joining us, and we will check in on the next episode, which will be Chapter 3, to discuss the consolidation of offenses.